reasonable cost.
Hare Krishna. Welcome. Sorry we're late. We had a few problems at the front gate. Someone locked the gate. We couldn't get in, so we're here now. Okay, so tonight, we'll just go straight into the class. Tonight, we shall read from Canto 10, Chapter 25. Very good. Canto 11. Canto 11, very good. Canto 11, Chapter 25, verses 1 to 12. So, Chapter 25 is entitled The Three Modes and Beyond. So, it's a very important subject matter, which Krishna is now going to address to Uddhava. So, I will begin with verse number 1. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, O best among men, please listen as I describe to you how the living entity attains a particular nature by association with individual material modes. So, Sri Chaitanya, let's read.
The word Asama Vishu indicates that which is not mixed with anything else. Lord Krishna now explains how each of the three material modes, goodness, passion and ignorance, acting separately, causes a conditioned soul to manifest a particular type of existence. The living entity is ultimately transmuted to the modes of nature, being part and parcel of Lord Krishna. But in conditioned life, he manifests material qualities. This is described in the following verses.
Okay. So, in the Bhagavad Gita, one of the chapters is entitled The Three Modes of Material Nature. Which chapter is that? Okay, someone said 15, someone said 17. Which chapter is it? Three Modes of Material Nature.
17.
Huh? 17. Not 17. 17 is Divisions of Faith. Right? It's 14. Yeah, the three modes of material nature. We should know these things. We should know. So, in chapter 14, Krishna explains, he begins the chapter, which is entitled The Three Modes of Material Nature. He says, this is the best of all knowledge. Right? The best knowledge, right, is knowledge of the three modes. Now, as we know, the Bhagavad Gita has three sections. So there is the Karma Yoga section, the Jnana Yoga section, and the Bhakti Yoga section. So chapter 14 is in the Jnana Yoga section. So it is the whole Jnana Yoga section, which runs from chapter 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17, these five chapters, which are all about Jnana Yoga, the principal subject matter is the three modes of material nature. Right. Chapter 14 is entitled The Three Modes of Nature. But if you look at 13, there is some description about 15 also, but 16 and 17 are very much, and 18 itself, are very much describing the three modes of material nature. So Krishna says it is the best of all knowledge. It doesn't mean it's superior to the bhakti section. It's not superior to knowledge of devotional service. But in terms of jnana, jnana means cultivating knowledge for detachment. Right? Cultivating knowledge for detachment. Right? Why are we cultivating knowledge for detachment? Thank you for coming. How many do you need?
Four.
Four, okay, be quick. So, Try to organize these things ahead of time, if you can. I know you won't, but try. Thank you for coming. You need a hand?
No, thank you.
May Krishna bless you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So, jnana breeds, right? Detachment. Detachment means we need to cultivate knowledge, transcendental knowledge, to become detached from this world. If you don't cultivate knowledge, you will not become detached. Right? All of us need to be detached from this world, right? Because, as we discussed last night, the problem is that all of us are attached to this world. Right? We're attached. Everyone's attached. Right? We're attached to Maya. This is described last night at the end of the Sankhya Yoga chapter. All of us are attached to this material world. So what breeds detachment is transcendental knowledge. Right? And then Krishna says the best of all the knowledge is the knowledge of the three modes of nature. So when we have knowledge of the three modes of material nature, then we develop detachment. So it's a very important study. And I think I mentioned a number of times that it was about 20 years ago, I did a very deep study of the three modes. Right? Studied it very, very carefully, very deeply. Right? And it had a huge effect on my devotional service. Right? Because we need to understand this subject matter. The conclusion is, as we'll go through, is that the mode of goodness is superior to the others. Right? It's a very important point. Right? And sometimes devotees miss this point. You know, when we hear classes and things, that devotees miss this point. Some think, oh, that's just the modes of nature. It's not. No, it's very important. Devotees think that you can practice devotional service, you'll get the same result. You know, not all devotional service is the same. Right? If you practice devotional service in passion or ignorance, you get a very different result to practicing devotional service in the mode of goodness. So devotees need to understand this very carefully. Right? The more we're in the mode of goodness, the more we can advance in Krishna consciousness. The more we're in passion and ignorance, it's very difficult to advance. Right? Your advancement will not take you back to the spiritual world, put it that way. Right? It'll take you to another birth, where you'll continue to do devotional service, but you won't go back to Goloka or Vaikuntha. That can only happen when you practice from the mode of goodness. Right? So it's a very important point. So it describes that the three modes are always fighting for supremacy. Right? They're always trying to overcome each other. Right? The three modes are very much competitive, right? So we know ourselves. Like if you look at yourself probably today, you'll see there are times when you're situated more in the mode of goodness, times when you're situated more in the mode of passion, and times when you're situated more in the mode of ignorance. Right? You see, this is the way it takes place, right? They're always fighting for supremacy, right? Krishna explains that in the 14th chapter. That, you know, you're in the mode of ignorance, but then mode of passion is trying to overcome, and then goodness is trying to overcome. There's like a continuous battle between the modes. So we need to understand the modes, right? How they work, and how to situate ourselves more in the mode of goodness. My spiritual master said, it was a long time ago, nearly 30 years ago, when I was only a very new devotee. He said one time that you have to understand when the mode of when the modes of nature are affecting you, right? Especially ignorance and passion. And I remember when he said that, you know, many years ago, I was just a new devotee. I really didn't understand what he meant, because I was always under the influence of the modes of nature. So when you're always under the influence of the modes of nature, you don't necessarily understand how they are affecting you. Right? You don't necessarily understand, the modes are affecting me in a particular way. But as you advance in Krishna consciousness and as you work your way through the modes and become less affected by them, particularly passion and ignorance, then when you move your way through the modes, they don't affect you as much. Right? And then you can see when they are affecting you. You can understand, okay, I'm under the mode of passion, I'm under the mode of ignorance, it's affecting me now. Right? So it gives us an understanding how to understand how they are affecting us in this world. So, as is pointed out here, ultimately we are transcendental. We have nothing to do with this material energy. You know, the Bhagavatam is described in second canto, it is Swapna. The material world is a dream. The soul is not actually experiencing something. It's very much, it's just being experienced through the false ego. The soul itself is not actually in contact with the material energy. We just misidentify with it, and then we get carried away. So factually, the modes aren't actually affecting us, the soul. But because we misidentify with the body, then the modes and the subtle body, the modes become affected. No. The subtle body becomes affected by the modes. The gross body becomes affected by the modes. But actually, the soul has nothing to do with it. So we must identify when the gunas are acting upon us, and we need to begin to elevate ourselves into the mode of goodness. Right? Gradually bring yourself up through the modes into the mode of goodness, and that way you can transcend. Any points?
Not entirely.
It means that, you know, you can be in the mode of goodness, you can still be in anxiety for Krishna. Like Prabhupada was in transcendental goodness. He wasn't in the mode of passion. He was in transcendental goodness. And he had a lot of anxiety for Krishna. So it doesn't mean you have to be in the mode of passion to experience anxiety for Krishna. Make sense?
Yeah, but sometimes we see in the kirtans also, like a lot of kirtan is always in the mode of passion.
The kirtans are in the mode of passion?
Yeah.
That's because the devotee is in the mode of passion.
So that will not be beneficial.
Not what?
So that will not be as beneficial as our chanting or as the other kirtans in the mode of goodness.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, you see sometimes all the boys, like, you know, when they dance, they become very hot. And it's a lot of testosterone, a lot of hormones. And they go, Hare Krishna, it's purifying them, but it's gradual. Right? Because they're not in the mode of goodness. Right? If you're in the mode of goodness and you do kirtan, you'll get more benefit. Right? It'll purify you more. They get benefit, but it's a slow type of benefit. Just like many years ago, I think it was here in Melbourne actually, maybe it was America, but Prabhupada was there, and the devotees were doing kirtan. And Prabhupada was on the stage, and the devotees were down doing the kirtan. And the brahmacharis were going, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare, Hare, Hare. So, you know, like, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And then Prabhupada stopped the kirtan. He said, stop, and they stopped. And Prabhupada said, not like this. And Prabhupada said, like this. Yeah. He said, now start again. So it's not mode of passion, that is not how we're meant to do kirtan. Right? It's not a football match or a soccer match or a cricket match or something like that. That's not the mood. Okay. Any other points?
And he was mentioning that, you know, even though if you are in our space, there is a chance of
fall down. And you know, you cannot go back to Godhead even though if you are in Bhava stage. You have to achieve prema. And prema can be attained through, you know, you have to, desire is not sufficient. You have to act accordingly. Your action should be there. That's right. Then you can achieve prema. And to achieve prema, yes, we have to rise above the three modes of prema.
Okay. So now there is a long description of the three modes, goodness, passion, and ignorance. Mind and sense control, these are qualities of the mode of goodness, which we'll read first. Mind and sense control, tolerance, discrimination, sticking to one's prescribed duty, truthfulness, mercy, careful study of the past and future, satisfaction in any condition, generosity, renunciation of sense gratification, faith in the spiritual master, being embarrassed at improper action, charity, simplicity, humbleness, and satisfaction within oneself are qualities of the modes of goodness. Now the mode of passion. Material desire, great endeavor, audacity, dissatisfaction even in gain, false pride, praying for material advancement, considering oneself different and better than others, sense gratification, rash eagerness to fight, a fondness for hearing oneself praised, the tendency to ridicule others, advertising one's own prowess, and justifying one's actions by one's strength are qualities of the mode of passion. And now the mode of ignorance. Intolerant anger, stinginess, speaking without scriptural authority, violent hatred, living as a parasite, hypocrisy, chronic fatigue, quarrel, lamentation, delusion, unhappiness, depression, sleeping too much, false expectations, fear and laziness constitute the major qualities of the mode of ignorance. Now please hear about the combination of these three modes. So we need to understand these qualities of the various modes of nature. It's very important for us. It will be very beneficial for our devotional service. We need to understand how these things will affect us. Right? If you understand the mode of ignorance, you can understand what it is you need to avoid. There's certain qualities in the mode of ignorance we must avoid. Otherwise, it will make your devotional service very difficult. And then the mode of passion, right? There are certain qualities that you have to avoid, right? Otherwise, you can't perform devotional service properly. The mode of goodness is beneficial. One of the acharyas actually states that when he observes sattva gun, the material mode of goodness, and shuddha sattva, pure goodness, he sees that there is very little difference between the two, right? Between sattva gun and shuddha sattva, right? They look very similar. Just like if you meet someone in this material world, even if they're not a devotee, but they're in sattva gun, a lady or a gentleman, and they're very mode of goodness, very peaceful, controlled. It's very similar to a pure devotee like Prabhupada. Right? The qualities are similar. Right? So it is a similar nature. Therefore, we have to cultivate devotional service in the mode of goodness. You have to understand what the qualities are and begin to cultivate. So, sattva gun, it says, breeds the power of discrimination. Right? Why do we need to cultivate sattva gun? Because then you can discriminate properly, right? And you need to learn discrimination if you're going to advance in Krishna consciousness, right? You need to identify what is right and what is wrong. Right? As a Majjhima Adhikari, we're taught to discriminate, right? Who is advanced? Who is less advanced? You can't make advancement if you don't know who's more advanced than you. Like Bhanu Swami is there, so he's more advanced than me. So if I think I'm more advanced than him, then there'll be problems in the relationship. Similarly, there are devotees who are less advanced. Just like in the next room, they have all these new people. So we take it, you know, until I speak to them and get to know them, we would take it probably that they're less advanced than us. So it means we have to know how to reciprocate with them. Right? So you need to learn to discriminate. That's what mode of goodness allows you to do. Who is equal to you? Right? If someone's equal to you, then you deal with them in a particular way. So we have to learn, right? That's why we need to be in the mode of goodness, because then you can tell what is correct, what is incorrect. If you're too much in passion, as it says here, one of the qualities of passion, you think you're better than everyone else. So then it's very difficult. If you're in the mode of ignorance, you're angry and you're disturbed and your consciousness cannot differentiate nicely. So we need to understand these things very carefully. So, Rajagun, when the list is given of Rajagun, it is characterized by great exertion. Yeah? And you see the material world is based on this. Everyone, what is the main mode of material nature in the world, in the material universe, is passion. Right? It's Rajagun. Right? The whole material world, the whole universe, it is mainly the mode of passion. And you see everyone. It's all about exerting themselves. Oh, we have to do more. We have to conquer more. We have to, you know, become victorious. It's all energy, energy, energy. Right? A lot of it's misdirected. There's, you know, make so much energy, but what do you actually achieve? Right? So that's what is here. It says that exerting yourself, that is Rajagun. Stamba means false pride. Right? That's a quality, the mode of passion. We're very proud. Right? I'm very exalted. I'm very proud. I'm very qualified. That's the mode of passion. Then, it says, Mata. What do we usually translate mada as? Mada.
Madness.
Yeah, madness. Mada. In Sanskrit, say mother. In English, say mad. Same thing. But it's interesting, the definition given here in this verse is enthusiasm for fighting. Right? When you like to fight with someone all the time, argue with them all the time, and always try to defeat them, that is madness. Yeah, it's mother. Right? That's the definition. Right? It's, you're mad. You're a crazy person. Crazy people like to argue all the time. Right? And then, to think I am superior. This is the quality of the mode of passion. Right? In devotional service, we're meant to think and feel the other way. In devotional service, how are we meant to think and feel? Yeah, Trinada Pisa, you're supposed to be the lowest. But when you're in a mode of passion, you think you are the highest. It's the opposite. Yeah, and we do it. As devotees, sometimes we think like that. Or I am superior to another devotee. Yeah. So we think like that, but that's a mode of passion. That's not pure devotional service. Therefore, we have to overcome these qualities. Yeah. And then Tamas has different qualities. What stood out for me is anger, right? Become angry. Now, if you're becoming angry too much, right, that is tamagun. You should understand you're in tamagun. If you're angry too much, that's tamagun, right? And then moroseness. Moroseness means depression. I am morose, I am depressed, right? That is tamagun. That is the mode of ignorance. So, these are the different qualities of the different modes. So we need to understand these things, study them carefully, understand what they are, see them when they're arising in ourselves, and then we can make advancement in devotional service. So, any points?
Yes. And then the fourth
anchor.
Shri Goswami describes this three, gives the example of which first it begins with Daksha, then which of devotion serves in more of it notes, and then he explains the Guru Maharaj Prasanna, which is in the mode of passion, devotion serves in more, and then he gives the example of Guru Maharaj, which is devotion serves in more of it. And you can see these three highlighted, these three sections, the qualities highlighted in those three personalities.
Where did you get that from?
I had one of the classes.
I've never heard that.
Sequence,
no, but I'm interesting who said that and where that came from, because I've never heard it described like that.
Mm.
Interesting. Interesting. Awesome. You don't remember who it was?
It was one of the brahmacharis in
Dalitam. Dalitam. Interesting. Okay. Yeah, it's an interesting analysis.
Mm.
Yeah, I've never heard that described like that. That's interesting. Any other points?
Correct, sir.
Yes, Janesh.
Thank you, Guru. Just wondering, you know, these qualities are so interesting that can we summarize these qualities as mode of goodness? Means these qualities results in is enjoyable, and mode of passion means it appears as if we are enjoying, but actually results in suffering. And then if you look at all the qualities resulted, in mode of ignorance, they all lead to suffering, 100%. Can we summarize like that?
Yeah, if you're in the mode of ignorance, it means you're already suffering. If you're in the mode of passion, passion can go two ways. Passion can go down into ignorance, or you can control it and gradually lift up into goodness.
Mm.
So passion doesn't have to end in ignorance or suffering, but if you don't control it, it will.
Okay.
But if you control it, you can lift out of suffering.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good answer. Yeah. And also, can you repeat the point that you just said? We missed, we could not hear the one before someone made a point that you...
Sri Chaitanya Prabhu was sharing that in the end of the third canto, there is a description of... Kapiladev gives a description of devotional service in goodness, devotional service in passion, devotional service in ignorance. So he gives a description of these three. And then Sri Chaitanya Prabhu was explaining that from one devotee he had heard give a class, that the opening of the fourth canto describes the Daksha Jagya. And then we see someone who is performing devotional service in the mode of ignorance and they become angry. And then we see Dhruva Maharaj, the next pastime, and then we hear about Dhruva Maharaj performing devotional service in Rajagun, in passion, right, and how that gradually elevated him. And then Prithu Maharaj performing devotional service in the mode of goodness.
Yes, yes.
So we're seeing these different. I'd never heard that before. It was a
nice. Okay. Thank you. That's very nice.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Any other points? Okay. Okay. My dear Uddhava, the combination of all three modes is present in the mentality of I and mine. The ordinary transactions of this world, which are carried out through the agency of the mind, the objects of perception, the senses, and the vital airs of the physical body, are also based on the combination of the modes. So we're hearing this famous Sanskrit term, aham mameti. It's mentioned all through Bhagavatam, right? Aham mameti. So this is the consciousness in the material world. I am, right? Indian, I am Australian, I am man, I am woman, I am so many upadis, right? So many bodily designations. So I am. Now this is the consciousness of the material world. So to become advanced in Krishna consciousness, we have to reverse this understanding. Instead of I am and this is mine, you know, we think aham mameti. Right? I am, and then these things belong to me. So Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur explains in Madhurya Kanambini pure consciousness is aham, I am Krishna's servant. Jivera Srupahoi, Krishnera Nichadas. Right? That is my constitutional position. I am Krishna's eternal servant. And Mameti. Mameti means mine. Right? I am Krishna's servant. And Krishna is my Lord and Master. That is pure consciousness. In the material world, that pure consciousness becomes lost. Instead of thinking, I am Krishna's servant, we think, I am the enjoyer. Ishwaraham, aham bhogi, siddoham, balavan sukhi. We think, I am the enjoyer, instead of I am the servant. And then, we think instead of Krishna is my Lord and Master, then we forget about Krishna in the material world. And then we think my husband is my Lord and Master, or my wife is my worshipable deity, or my children. And then we lose our concept of who we actually are. So that is there. We have to understand this pure state of consciousness as opposed to this material consciousness. Any points? Some of the gopis. Yeah. Not all. Yeah. No, there's a left wing and right wing gopis. There's two different camps. They think differently also. Yeah. Yeah, so mamata. Mamata means the conception that Krishna belongs to me. He is my Lord and Master. For us, we just need to understand Krishna, Lord Chaitanya, are our Lord and Master. That should be our consciousness. We don't have to think anything else. Okay. When a person devotes himself to religiosity, economic development, and sense gratification, the faith, wealth, and sensual enjoyment obtained by his endeavor display the interaction of the three modes of nature. So, how much we are attached to Dharma, Artha, and Karma. These are the Purusharthas in the Vedas. Dharma, Artha, Karma, and then you have Moksha. But that's a more elevated aspiration. So, Dharma, Artha, and Karma. Right? Dharma means religiosity, Artha to create wealth, and karma means sense gratification. So how much we desire these is according to the modes of nature that we're in. And you can see, people, they practice Dharma from the mode of ignorance. They think they're religious, but they're not religious. Just like the terrorists, they do that in the name of religion. So they think, oh, you know, we're bombing or suicide bomber or, you know, bombing or flying a plane into a building. And they think that is for God. That is tamagun. But they think in their mind that is for God. Right? And then rajas means too much dharma. Like once we said, what's the quality of rajas? I am proud. I am better than everyone else. So some people, they practice religion, dharma, but they think, oh, I am superior to others. I am the best. I am, you know. So it's a contaminated mentality. And then we have the mode of goodness. And then if you practice in the mode of goodness, then you'll be peaceful and you'll practice Dharma in the right way. Artha is the same. You can create economic opportunity or make money from the mode of darkness. People sell drugs and they do illegal things which harm others, right? But they're making money, right? But the way they do it is in the mode of ignorance. Mode of passion is what most of the world is doing, just working hard, trying to exploit the material energy, exploit themselves. And then finally, in the mode of goodness, you can also earn money in the mode of goodness through sattva means, through means in the mode of goodness, which is good for a devotee to do like that. Prabhupada once said that the grihastha devotees should support themselves by prasadam distribution. Open restaurants and run, devotee businesses and like that, where we can work together and we don't have to work in the outside world, associate with all the non-devotees. And then there is karma, sense gratification. So some people are in the mode of ignorance, enjoying their sense gratification in very tamasic ways. Some are in rajasic ways. But then devotees are more in the mode of goodness, right? And that is, we enjoy sense gratification, but it's in a controlled way, right? It's not, we don't get overcome with that spirit. So a devotee should be controlled in the mode of goodness. Right? So this is the way we elevate ourselves up through the modes. Right? We should not become overwhelmed by the modes of nature. So, any points? Okay. When a man desires sense gratification, being attached to family life, and when he consequently becomes established in religious and occupational duties, the combination of the modes of nature is manifest. So once again, we follow Varnashram according to the modes of nature that we are in. Varna and Ashram. Just like we know that the Shudras are mainly in the mode of ignorance. So if someone is mainly in the mode of ignorance, they can act in the Varnashram system according to the mode that they are in. The Vaishyas are more in passion and ignorance. The Kshatriyas are more in passion and goodness. Right? It's like a mixture of passion and goodness. Right? And the Brahmana is primarily in the mode of goodness. Right? So according to the modes, then you act in this world. Right? And Ashram is also the same. If there's too much passion in the consciousness, we enter Grihastha Ashram. Though, like Banu Swami, he was Naishtika Brahmachari. Right? Never had contact with a woman. Right? Even before he was a devotee. So he never had contact. Right? So that is rare in Kali Yuga. Gopavrindesh Prabhu is also like that. Right? Some very rare people. Right? They come through and they have that natural proclivity to be in the mode of goodness. Right? And then they can elevate themselves and elevate others. Now, Lord Chaitanya does not place a great deal of emphasis on Varna and Ashram. In the sense, he doesn't, when Ramananda Roy is speaking to him in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, he rejects Varna Ashram. He says, go further. So it is not the main thing, because it still deals with the body. And in the Nectar of Devotion, we don't hear of the Varnashram is an item of bhakti. Right? Varnashram is not an item of bhakti. It doesn't itself, it supports devotional service, particularly ashram. Right? We have to be in the grihastha ashram because it makes us more peaceful so we can practice devotional service. But it's not devotional service. Just to be, a good wife or a good mother or a good husband, that is not bhakti. If your children, your family are devotees and you're helping them become devotees, then it is bhakti. And then it elevates you. Otherwise, in and of itself, it's not devotional service. So Lord Chaitanya does not overly emphasize it. That's why he says, I'm not a Kshatriya, I'm not a Vaishya, he says these things. And then he says, Gopi Bhatu Pada Kamala Yodasa Dasa Anudasa. I'm the servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna who is the master of the gopis. That's what we need to elevate our consciousness to. So, any points?
This was Bhagavan Maharaj was speaking about on this point that one doesn't have to, just renounce do not want to learn the mantras and to renounce Vanashramacharya, because he was already at a level that Prema Dharma, so that he did not have to follow the Vanashramacharya. But I think the talk of Ramana was explaining how we should follow, because we are from that level.
Nice one. Okay. Text number 9. A person exhibiting qualities such as self-control is understood to be predominantly in the mode of goodness. Similarly, a passionate person is recognized by his lust, and one in ignorance is recognized by qualities such as anger. So this is Krishna's giving a very very broad definition, simplifying it, giving the predominant quality so that we can understand the modes of nature. In the mode of goodness, what is the predominant quality? Yeah, Krishna is saying that, right? Sense control. When you have control of your senses, you are peaceful. People in the mode of goodness are peaceful. You know, like Padmaswami, he's peaceful. Like Gopivrindeshprabhu, he's peaceful. And they're in the mode of goodness. Bhakti Rasamrita Swami, he's peaceful. Radhanath Swami, these different personalities, they're peaceful. Why? They have control of the senses. Then we have the mode of passion, which is known by lust. Lust means calm. Calm means unlimited desire. The nature of the mode of passion is, doesn't matter how much material facility you get, you will never be satisfied. You always want more. You see, like Hiranyakashipu, who was the biggest demon in the history of this universe. Right? Hiranyakashipu, didn't matter how much he had, he wanted more. That is his nature. He just wanted more. It doesn't matter. And that's the nature of the mode of passion. No matter how much you get, sense gratification, you want more. That's the nature of lust. The Krishna says in the third chapter of the Gita, it is never satisfied. Right? It's like a fire that the more you put on it, the more it will burn. Right? So that is the nature of the mode of passion. Right? Excessive desire, which is never satisfied. And then the mode of tamagun. Tamagun means mode of ignorance. Yeah, and Krishna said the prominent quality is anger. And you see, people who are in the mode of ignorance, they're always angry. They can't control themselves. They just become angry very easily. That's the mode of ignorance. So, any points? Okay. Then Krishna says, any person, whether man or woman, who worships me with loving devotion, offering his or her prescribed duties unto me without material attachment, is understood to be situated in goodness. So it's a very important point. We need to understand this very clearly as devotees. Practicing devotional service in the mode of goodness will lead to pure goodness. Prabhupada explains that. If you go to the nectar of instruction in the introduction, Prabhupada explains, this book is meant to bring you from ignorance to passion to goodness, and then from goodness you can go to pure goodness. Right? Interesting. It's always stuck in my mind that Prabhupada writes that. Because that book, Nectar of Instruction, and Nectar Devotion, they're bhakti shastras. They're not to do with the modes of nature. But Prabhupada explains, the purpose of the book is to bring you up, then to pure goodness. The Bhagavatam itself, if you go back to the second chapter, what is the second chapter of the first canto called? What is it called? Divinity and Divine Service, right? That is the second chapter. Prabhupada said that chapter is so important we should memorize the whole chapter. Right? So important. The whole philosophy or the whole understanding of going from Shraddha to Prema, those nine levels, that comes from that chapter, from verses 12 to 20. Right? That's where it all comes from. So Lord Chaitanya's entire philosophy is based upon Bhagavatam. And that chapter explains it very nicely. So if you study that chapter, Prabhupada explains very nicely as well. We're meant to come from ignorance, passion, to goodness. From goodness, we go to pure goodness. Prabhupada said it's like a springboard. Right? You won't get to pure goodness from ignorance or passion. That's why we have to call it... I mean, we have ignorance and passion within us, but we have to make goodness more prominent so that we can rise up and go through that pure platform. Okay. When a person worships me by his prescribed duties with the hope of gaining material benefit, his nature should be understood to be in passion. And one who worships me with the desire to commit violence against others is in ignorance. So, as we said, if you're too much in passion or ignorance, it will take a long, long time. Right? Mode of ignorance will take a long time because you'll probably commit offenses. When devotees are in the mode, it's interesting actually, if you go back to Kapila's teachings in Canto 3, when he describes devotional service in ignorance and devotional service in passion, there's one quality which is in both. Ignorance and passion. Does anyone remember? I've mentioned it quite a few times. Right? To be a separatist. Very interesting. Right? It's in both. Devotional service in the mode of ignorance, you're a separatist. Right? You can't associate with the other devotees properly. Right? You have to be separate because you know you get angry with them and disturbed by them. Mode of passion is the same. I am the best devotee. So I don't listen. You see, devotees, too much in ignorance or passion, they don't listen. And if you don't listen, how will you advance in Krishna consciousness? And you might make offenses. Therefore, we have to be very careful. Right? So it says, too much in the mode of ignorance, too much in the mode of passion, right? It's hard to make advancement in Krishna consciousness. Okay, final verse for tonight. The three modes of material nature, goodness, passion, and ignorance, influence the living entity, but not me. Manifesting within his mind, they induce the living entity to become attached to material bodies and other created objects. In this way, the living entity is bound up. So, Krishna says in the Gita that even the mode of goodness is binding. Right? How does the mode of goodness bind us in this world?
You become happy.
You become happy, yeah. And knowledge. It says knowledge and happiness. Because when you're in mode of goodness, you have knowledge. So then you think, oh, you know, it's okay. And then you become happy. Oh, I'm peaceful. Life is good. Everything is peaceful. But then you become attached. Oh, I just want to live here forever. So it binds us. Ignorance binds us, passion binds us, and goodness binds us as well. So therefore, as long as you're attached to any of the modes, you have to take birth again. Even if you're a good devotee in the mode of goodness, but you're attached to this world, you have to take birth again.
Something like that in mode of goodness, which is binding us.
Yeah.
In a different way.
Yeah, it means you come attached to this world, right? So if you're in any of those modes, right, then it is difficult to transcend. Therefore, regardless of which mode you're in, you have to be detached. Right? That's all the Bhagavad Gita. Vairagya Vijja Nija Bhakti Yogena. Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya says, Lord Chaitanya's philosophies to teach us Bhakti Yoga enriched by Vairagya and Vijja, by detachment. That's all Lord Chaitanya's message is. I'm not a Brahmana, I'm not a Sudra, I am the servant of Krishna, the master of the gopis. Right? Then we transcend this world. So it points out here that when Krishna comes to this material world, he is not bound. And when he sends the pure devotees, they are not bound. When Prabhupada and Krishna come, they're not affected by the modes. And when Krishna comes, he comes in the self-same body and he's not affected. When Prabhupada comes, he accepts a material body, but that body is fully used in Krishna's service. So his consciousness is not affected by this material world. So we have to purify the effect of the three modes of material nature on our subtle body. Because our subtle body is very much, it is the subtle body which carries the soul lifetime to lifetime. Since we came to this material world, we had millions of births. And we have the same subtle body, the same mind, intelligence, and ego. Right? It's carrying our soul to each birth. Right? So we have to purify the effects of the three modes from the subtle body. That's what the mission is in this day and age. And Jiva Goswami says Kali Yuga is a very good time to practice bhakti because everyone is so disturbed. You have to chant Krishna's name sincerely. And I don't know about everyone else, but I'm feeling Kali Yuga's influence more than ever before. I really am. It's very profound to me now. I've been here for 50 years in this body, in this. I've never felt it like this before. I can really feel the energy of Kali really becoming heavier at the moment. So that means we have to become more serious in Krishna consciousness because the world is becoming more crazy now. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki. Any points? Okay, we'll see you next week. Hare Krishna.